Okay. Hi. Thank you for inviting me. It's going to be hard to follow your presentation because actually you say many things I wanted to say, so you saved me some time. Well, my practice has always been in the realm of the experiential, and that can be called performance, happening, event, situation, whatever. That's your job, not mine. And basically, my research was based in politics, coming from a place in which whatever you do becomes political, or is going through the, you know, the investigation, if it is political, the suspicion first of anything. So basically, I'm going to go through a series of pieces to show more or less the way in which I have developed my research about political art, and mostly the creation of civic space through art. So basically, the beginning of my work, I was trying to provide an experience in which the visible was problematized. In this case, this is a documentation that has to be created in order for people to see the elements in the piece, but really it was a piece that was completely black. So you walk around this sugar cane, and you know, you have a very different experience. You don't see anything, so you enter a place with all the senses and very little images. And the images are the one of Fidel at the back in a video, and then you kind of sense the people around after a while when your eyes get used to. So in this case, this is the year 2000, researching on the idea of not having any, the little as possible visual information in order to access the work through other ways, like other senses. This is the piece for Documenta. It was the opposite. It was too much light, so you can also could not see because you had too much light, and the sound of people walking above your head and cocking a gun. While this piece had what we could say like great success because it was sold to a great museum, it was great press, and everybody still look at me and say, oh, I remember that piece. I was really disappointed because I wanted to create a conversation with the audience. I didn't want to create an image. I didn't want to create an experience that is not a space for discussion. So I was kind of disappointed in the sense also that how little time is given to art to deliver its political message in these kind of setups. This is another piece I did. Well, I'm not talking about that one. And then I was kind of disappointed and decided to start a different kind of work in which I will actually engage in projects that require long-term commitment on my part. And since then, I have separated my work in two areas, long-term and short-term projects. The short-term are the ones that kind of go with the timing of the art world, meaning like 2 seconds to see a work. And the other one is the one that goes to the timing of the social timing, meaning like minimum 3, 5 or so more years to be seen. And of course, they also work with the idea of problematizing the visualization of the project and what is shown. Because it is an unstable image, what I create. It's not a concrete image, but an unstable image that is all the time renegotiation, its own meaning, and renegotiating its own status. This is a piece I wanted to show because for me it's an statement of what I think about body art. And this is kind of when I decided not to do more anything with my body, in a way. So this is a piece called L'Accord de Marseille, and it's an agreement, a legal agreement with another artist, Jota Castro, that we created an agreement in which we will give our bodies to, when we die, to the other artist to do an artwork. So this is another example of how I negotiate the timing of the work. Because a lot of people have called me and say, okay, what is the work? The document that you agreed to do this, or do we have to wait to see the piece? I mean, like, a lot of problematizing also the timing of seeing the work. And what we imagine the work will be is, for me, very important as well. I almost work as much with the imagination of the people than the actual piece. I also try, I've been trying to go outside of the institution and working with the institutions in ways in which they are providers of privileges instead of just capsule to put the work. So in this case, this is in Poland, so the institution hire 10, and my work is not about hiring money, I mean, it's not about that. So I really give them really good paycheck, so it's not about discussing how much money they get or not. So I think it's fair to pay them for the job. So so in this case, they hire 10 blind people who are blind, and we dress them in the military outfit. And they were surrounding the only lasting symbol of the socialist time, which is the plaza, this big building, the Palacio de los, the Palace of the Science and Art. And for me, it was very interesting because at the event, a lot of really high-profile curators were going, and we were going to see my work, and they couldn't see my work. And I really like it because they were like, "Whoa, this is weird that this blind man is like, you know, dressing." But they were all separate, so you cannot see. I mean, there was something weird, but not weird enough to be art. So only when they were all together, or like two or three together at the same space, people were like, "Oh, this is art," you know. So I really like this idea of providing events in the public space in which I work with different strategies. Not always the impacts goes in different ways. It's not always an accusatory impact. It's sometimes kind of a negotiating in other ways. This is another project again where I try to. I encounter a situation because the project was, it's called Trust Workshop, and it was done in Russia, in Moscow, and I put an announcement on the newspaper. We were looking for ex-KGB agent to actually do trust workshops for Soviet Russian people who were living under the time of the Soviets, and try to use all what they learn to provide information to the government the other way around, meaning that they will hopefully fix people's trust. But I encounter an ethical situation, which is, what do I show? Should I exoticize the event? Should I put a camera to show what people are saying? Should I invite the audience to join the discussion? Should this be in English so everybody can understand in the West? So I decided not to show anything. And I don't care if people trust or not that this is done. So what I did is I did an event that is an opening reception, which is what you're seeing here, to announce to the art world that this is going to happen. And this is important. Well, and here basically what happened is like you enter and you can choose between monkeys and eagles to have a photo taken. But of course what happened is that when you receive the photo, you are so excited about the animals, you find out later in the photo that you had the portrait of the creator of the KGB with you in the photo. So, and of course the photo is given right away. So, and this piece for me is very important because it's one of the first pieces in which I have encountered a problematic that I'm still trying to solve, which is how can a work can be useful and at the same time symbolically effective. And how can I work in areas that are actual, the civic society, and areas that are the representational language, or society, maybe we are also representational society. So, and this, in this case, I kind of separated them. I couldn't solve this. In this place, in this option, I think I tried to solve that problem. This is Tattling Whisper. And this is basically a series of work in which I take events from the news, you know, and try to restage them inside artistic institutions. So actually, actions that belong to other areas, you know, to the areas of manifestations and revolt and so, and put in the museum. In this case, we had, these are the Tate Modern, and they had this mounted police to use all the technique for crowd control with the audience. And it was actually very good because the Tate is one of the few museums in the world that I found have an excellent situation with the audience because they have so many people who are not artists. I mean, of course, it's kind of touristic, but that's fine, you know. There are so many people who are not artists coming that is really great for artists, I think, because we don't have, I mean, we didn't announce the performance. And for me, it's very important, like, the piece is sold to a Tate, and the contract is very, very specific about they can never announce this piece. The actual policeman cannot do it more than 5 times, because then they really start belonging more to, oh, I'm an art piece, I'm an actor, you know. They kind of change, they transform themselves from policemen to actors. And also the other reason, the other thing in the contract that for me is very important is that I liberated economically the audience, in the sense that whoever can wants to take documentation and sell it is allowed, with no persecution in part of the by the institution, and sell it on the market price. And I think for me it's very important because as artists we always talk about democracy and liberation and equality, but when it's the time of selling, everybody forgets a little bit about it. And I wanted to actually liberate. And put kind of an equal situation, because I think in some of and most of my recent work, the audience is not only part of my work, but it's also a co-creator of the work, you know. So I think it's fair. Nobody has done it yet, so I encourage you. So also I try to create, to look for spaces that become highly politicized. And this is after 9/11. I did for a few months, performances on the airplane. And yes, she was not very happy. So I wanted to see what happens for that other audience. You know, I'm always searching for creating other audiences that are not all, I mean, it's a weird thing because I cannot live without the art audience because I really like the dialogue with them, but I really want to see how can I enter in a bigger space for discussion. That was an intense experience. And for this piece, it was very important that the documentation was made from the part of whoever was next to me. So whoever was sitting next to me, I was like, can you please take a video for me? They didn't know if it was art or not, and that didn't matter. Okay, sorry, this up. Okay. The other thing is, I think that I'm trying to enter in the on the aspects that are not so comfortable, and I think people working on political art spaces should. And this is a problem. I always it's hard to negotiate with the institutions because the institutions. I'm very glad that they are so interested in political art right now, but they have already a preconception of what political art should be and how to work with the audiences. And as everybody knows, for them it's really important their duties to the audience. And this is not always what we want as artists. So in this case, the museum hired an ex-combatant of Iraq to be the guard for the show, one of the guards. And he was actually approaching people and saying, sir, can you, he was very nice, which make me more scary. Can you please come with me? So they were entering this closet, with electric closet, and they were asked, why do you think people want to kill Barack Obama? And of course, the majority of the audience was white and middle class. And this is an African-American person. So I think it's very hard sometimes as an artist to negotiate how to create work that is kind of uncomfortable and without, you know. And this is a good example of that. This is a piece I did in Colombia. And in this piece, I put a panel discussion about the figure of the hero And I gave the panelists four questions. Do you think it's the difference between leader and hero? Is it a space for a hero in Colombia right now? And these people were part of the conflict. There was an ex, people from the army, a paramilitar, a person, a family of a desaparecido, etc. And at the same time, in the audience, there was a person going with a tray with cocaine. So basically, this is kind of this is a work that, of course, if I'm talking about as a political artist, that I should also enter the legal aspect of society, because it's one of the aspects that, of course, enters the behavioral in all of us. And I thought I had to do one piece about that. And also it's interesting because this is one of the first pieces in which actually I give control to the audience of the piece. Meaning I just put the elements and then I have no idea what's going to happen. And that is absolutely fine. And I think it's fine because I think one of the biggest problems with political art or art that wants to create social spaces is the preconception of the goodness of the art. How good that art has to be, how wonderful for everybody. And no, I mean, not that everybody has to be bad, but I think there is a space for everything. And in my case, I'm more interested in the non-resolved aspects of society than in the resolved and positive aspects. Because I think through that discussion, we can actually move to a better place. So this is another example. Unfortunately, something happened. Unfortunately, the video is not, but that's okay. So this is the same thing, and I play a lot with memory because in this case it was in Havana, and I set up like a typical, place where probably Fidel will be talking, and I came up with this idea of the white dove, which is one of the biggest iconography of the beginning of the revolution where Fidel was talking and the dove came, and that was it. That was it. He's the one. So I wanted to renegotiate that authorship, that authority, and I actually gave everybody 1 minute of a free speech, and this is another situation where everything gets out of hand, And also, I gave them 200 disposable cameras I never took back. So they were actually responsible not only about doing the piece, but also about distributing the documentation of the piece. And they actually did that. So a lot of, somebody put on the YouTube videos and they actually took care of that. This is another piece, it's called Generic Capitalism, in which I invited two people from the Weatherman Underground to talk, and I actually planted some people in the audience to attack them. And it was, I really think it was really nice, because what happened is at the end they could not speak anymore, and the audience was the one making the debate. And so there was kind of the elimination of total elimination of authority, in a way. And that's, I think that I will stop there. I have other projects, but I can probably talk about it later. Okay, good, thanks.